Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program. Now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
You look fine.
Well, I was just checking my hair.
You're primping is what you're doing. You look good.
There's a part of my hair right here that is just, that's the part of my noggin that says, you know, you're going away. The hair is slowly but surely beginning its descent into oblivion.
I had a woman sneak up behind me at the Super Bowl and take a picture of my head. And she said,
way back when you were young, when you went through... probably, in my estimation, 5 years of denial over the fact that you were going bald. What would it be today? If you grew it out, what would it be? You shave your head.
I do.
By the way, is a handsome look.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like to keep people guessing. What is he, a disc jockey or a serial killer? Who knows?
There you go. Well, if you grew it out, what was it, 2 years ago? 2 years ago you had a full long, you had shoulder length hair, right?
I think it was more like 4 years ago.
Was it really?
Yeah, because I shaved.
God, time flies.
I shaved my head at the State Theater, and that was 4 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, just about. Yeah,
so when you shaved your head at the State, you never grew it back after that?
Nope. The longest it's been since then is like maybe a quarter inch, and it was inch at the Super Bowl. And a buddy of yours, actually, Kristen Chubbuck, took a picture of the back of my head and said, "Look, Carrie, his bald spot is heart shaped." I do have a heart-shaped bald spot.
Diego, I got to tell you something, man. Diego just sent me a text, junior producer of Political Persuasion. New idea for a show logo. I've gotten a couple of them, and I want to thank the people that have sent me these. This one's pretty...
You like it?
This one's pretty cool. Don't like the blue. The blue is lost in the
shuffle.
Did you do that, Diego?
I did.
Oh, that's a, you know, yep. What? I'm really impressed with that.
The
really
background is a background shot of the studio.
Let me tell you this. The only thing about it, the CAL in political, it kind of washes out against the black background.
I wish someone had said that before
I mean, really, just if you can get anything, Diego, can you work on it and get the letters to pop?
I can, yeah. I've actually taken some notes.
I like that. And incidentally, I think I said political persuasions, but I like political persuasion.
I got some bad news, and as junior producer, I feel like it's my duty to break it to you.
Please do, please. I like the bad news fast and up front.
Mr. Corleone demands hearing bad news immediately.
Immediately. That's exactly correct. Yes, thank you.
Political persuasion is more expensive on the internet.
The host name, you can't get the host name. No, politicalpersuasion.com.
Is this, by the way, now so people are going to flock to it right now and try to buy it for us?
No, I already bought it.
No, we have political persuasions.
First thing on when you announced it.
So we already have it, right?
Yeah, so it's plural. We just want to make sure we're giving the right name.
So the point is moot, right?
It is, and also you got the exact same notes from Mike that we gave you before you sent him the logo, Eager Beaver.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, it's great, and I think next week, Rob, that looks like a Tuesday taping.
Excellent.
Might just be me. I'm not sure. I have to review, and that's what you have to do.
Oh, you know what you need to do? Episode one needs to be your declaration of principles.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks so much. I appreciate that. You know what? We're not talking about it now. It's stressing me out a little bit. We're not talking about it. But what a great time it is to be talking about political theater in the United States of America. But Diego, I appreciate the initiative. That's very nice. And I like Eager Beaver. I like Eager Beaver a lot. That's how you get ahead in this business. You know, somebody tells you no, send it along anyway.
And
no
I think
problem
Eager Beaver is a category. If you want to check it out online, just be careful.
Eager Beaver, if you look that up online, you may be there for about 8 hours. Yeah, but anyway, we digress there,
we
Rob.
Do.
You were
we
talking
do.
About something
Sorry
else.
Sorry about that. I talked about your hair, but I wanted to also put some closure on the golf ball issue from yesterday. Remember, you were out there golfing with counterfeit golf balls.
Let me recap that it's hard to see on our high-def camera, but you can see the four on the Titleist 4 is smudged. The Titleist logo, you can't really see it, but that is also smudged. And then on the other side, the Pro V1 logo, which is the brand of golf ball that it is, that is
the variety,
smudged.
Right?
The variety of the varietal of golf ball that it is that is smudged as well. So I was informed when I showed this ball to one of my playing partners that this is a counterfeit. Well, and that means I got a dozen counterfeits. Got them in the bag right now. Got to take them out of the bag. Got them in the bag right now.
I got at 1:37 this very morning, I got an email from listener Chad Rapal. Okay. I think that's how, I'm not going to spell his name, but I think that's right. And this obviously was weighing heavy on his mind because he emailed me in the middle of the night.
That's good. I like that. I do that a lot when I'm concerned about things.
He says, "Hey, Rob, if you rewind to a mailbag around the time you were giving away your fruitcakes, you will hear a segment where I sent you guys a box of gifts. I sent you some records I didn't listen to. I sent Pony a black box telling him not to kill himself. Also not listened to. I sent Oscar a t-shirt, blah, blah, blah. Here's the meat of the email. Well, I also sent Mike a 12-pack of Pro V1s. But here's the great thing. I bought them at his beloved Walmart."
Wow.
I'm just curious if Walmart, or as I like,
they might not be the same ones. I don't know. How do we have no way of proving, right?
We don't, but this seems to dot all the I's and cross all the T's. It seems to fall right into place. He goes on to say, "I'm just curious if Walmart, or as I call it, Super China, is selling fake merchandise. They were not cheap, if indeed my balls are the ones that Mike are holding." So
I don't think he bought me Pro V1s at Walmart. I don't think they sell Pro V1s at Walmart.
Well, he says that he bought them at Walmart and sent them along. I mean, I'm only going by this. But you know what?
You know, he's a very honest man, but I'm not sure I'm going to throw him under the bus because I don't know whether that was his fault. And they might have been some other balls. I don't know. No, but I did get a dozen. I don't get a dozen very often, Rob. And that you sent along, I think, some of those. They could be from a previous incarnation. I have
no
idea.
And also, he's probably drunk if it was sent at 1:37. Let me go ahead and finish out the email.
I have no idea.
"If so, I promise, Mike, I will send a new pack of Pro V1s from an actual golf store. Do you prefer the regular V1 or the V1X?
V1X would be fine. V1X would be fine. Would be peachy. Thank you very much.
Sorry for any
that.
Embarrassment on the field of play that I or Super China may have incurred. Love, Chad the Smoker Rapal, P1.
Chad, you're a gentleman and a scholar, and it's not necessary to do that, but if you do, I'm not going to say no. That's the way that goes.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Lane?
Shelly.
I'm sorry I started.
You were
a little late.
Not too late, I hope.
A minute or two. When you were tied up with anything?
No, sorry, I'm just late.
I ordered you the porterhouse.
Oh, no, I don't eat meat. I'll just have the penne.
Put your shit down. You should really try the steak. Ask Hugo to burn it on the outside.
Thanks, that's all right. I really don't eat meat. I'll just go ahead with the penne.
Spicy?
Yes, please. Good, thanks.
Let the big talk begin.
Have you seen this?
My file on you, Senator.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get it? Have you read it?
What do you have to say for yourself?
With all due respect, Madam Senator, it doesn't matter what I have to say for myself.
Oh, it doesn't? Well, it seems to me, Mr. Chairman, that all you can claim about me, claim, is that I had sex while...
Deviant sex.
Oh, who? Deviant? Who says it was deviant?
I do. And what I say, the American people will believe. And you know why? Because I'll have a very big microphone in front of me.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
Shelley Runyon. Yes, that's Shelley Runyon.
Mike.
From the contender. You know, when I hear that scene, sometimes you reflect differently on it. And would anyone ever just order somebody an entree? Especially a sitting United States senator? I don't think that would happen.
And also, the fact is, how long has he been there? Because not only is she a couple minutes late, he's already into his porterhouse. He's
into the steak, which takes a while to cook. I'm very surprised.
And making
by that.
A lot of mouth noises.
Exactly. Coming to you live from the Cappy Fiver. That's the contender if you ever want to rent it. It's
film.
Fantastic. Coming to you live from the Cappy Fiver studio in the heart of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show on the air and online worldwide. The Mike O'Mara Show is a daily radio show Show and podcast with the greatest listeners on the planet because they get it. If you are here, you do too. I tell you about it all the time, and I want you to pay attention.
Yes, please.
Sleep Number, Sleep Number, Sleep Number. My Sleep Number bed is one of my prized possessions in life, and I sleep great. Maybe you've considered a Sleep Number bed for yourself, but thought, I couldn't afford one. But think about this. When you get it, you have it for a super deluxe long time.
Yes, it
there's
lasts.
My scientific number right there. Super deluxe long time. No, look, I've had other things that I've slept on, other mattresses. I've told you, they don't, Sleep Number doesn't age. It's the same shape it was. It's yep. fantastic. I love that. They don't talk about that during these commercials. I'm going to tell you about it. It's incredibly durable. You buy a Sleep Number, it's going to last you a long time. You're not going to have to get some crappy mattress that you have to replace every 3 years, which is what you're going to have to do with the other stuff. Here's great news. Right now, during the Ultimate Sleep Number event, you can save 50% on a limited edition bed. The Sleep Number bed lets you choose your ideal firmness, and it adjusts on each side, perfect for couples. Yeah. And by adding optional Sleep IQ technology, you track and optimize your sleep. It's fantastic. Now, I tell you all the time because it's true. My Sleep Number is an 85, Carla's is a 65, and last night, my Sleep IQ score was a 95er. 95,
wow!
People.
A on anybody's scale, Mike.
I feel great. You'll only find Sleep Number at a Sleep Number store. Come in during their Ultimate Sleep Number event where you can save 50% on a limited edition bed. Plus, all beds are on sale, including the Queen C2 mattress, now only $599.99. No better sleep with Sleep Number. Find your Sleep Number setting today at any of the 450 Sleep Number stores nationwide. You can find one near you by calling 800-511-0061. Don't forget to get the room's attention by doing something silly and tell them that Mike O'Mara sent you. Thank you.
You can do it just by clearing your throat.
Please remember to tell them that. Some people have done that. Some people have not. My sister, actually, mm-hmm. went in with my mother. God, yes. I'll never forget that. So did you mention my name?
No, we didn't because we were
we
just
couldn't
busy
recall
being
your
us.
Name, dear.
What was your name? Yeah. Did you do a show? What do? You feed your family? Yeah, yeah.
We got a big enough family. Like, if I had them support our advertisers, it would be wonderful for the show.
No, they don't.
Too bad they hate you.
So how does it work?
Are you still
Amazon? What do you do?
And you see, I've got really great people in my family. I've got cousins that actually, you know,
cousins
message me about the show because they listen on a daily basis. And then I've got other cousins that say, "So what are you still doing that computer thing?"
Oh yeah,
and you know they know exactly what I'm doing.
Best I ever got was my cousin Teddy when he looked at me and he said, "You still working at that country station?" yeah, that felt good.
Teddy.
That felt real good.
Mighty
real,
Teddy.
Real, real
He's
good.
Always ready.
Welcome to the show. Another day off for Oscar. Well, no, he's bettering himself, so that's fine. We accept that. That's the way it goes.
And by bettering himself, he's bettering us as well, I believe.
We'll see. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I have a story I'd like to share.
Another vote of confidence from Mike O'Mara.
I've been meaning, well, you know, don't get happy. That's the way. I bought my wife a dishwasher, and right before the show, I try to really have, excuse me, a moment of zen before the show.
Yeah.
I truly like to calm down and sort of gather myself and be in here. And the second day in a row, I've been dealing with dishwasher crap. All right. And what is the prime directive? What is the directive that you should rule your life by? The philosophy of this show.
Don't get happy.
DGH.
Exactly.
Absolutamente. And the fact is, Valentine's Day, I told the story on the air, bought the wife a wonderful dishwasher, had it installed
and shoes.
The next day.
Shoes.
And
you bought
shoes. That's right. Knock off golf shoes.
Factory seconds, Mike.
made out of paper.
They're all smudged.
And so I was so excited about the fact that, you know, I'm finally going to pull the trigger. I'm going to get. I didn't buy the top. Nobody bought. I don't buy the top of the line stuff because it's ridiculous. I'm not going to spend $1,500 for a dishwasher.
We went
I'm not
through
gonna
the
do that.
We went through the dishwasher dance. Carrie and I did about 2 years ago, and we got a salesman. We went to an actual appliance store to do mm-hmm. to start it right. And
right.
He says, "Well, what you're doing here is you're spending an additional $250, but you're knocking down the sound by 8 dB."
Yeah,
and I looked at him.
DB's their big thing.
And
DB's
he said, "Yeah, they want a quiet
dishwasher." Now, let me
dishwasher.
Tell you, if Oscar was here, I'm gonna fulfill the role of Oscar. Okay.
Okay.
I went to an appliance store. You see, now you've said it, and I've said it, and we're f***ed. Let me explain why. Because you have no sense of Amazon, none, zero, Zed, Bagel, ever. You constantly do this to me, and I'm telling the story about the Good Deals appliance store. Oh, I let it out there. So you're screwing me,
Mike,
when you tell your story about going to another store.
You have to listen to
what I said.
Then
the guy over there would say, Amazon, Amazon, Amazon. Here's why. Wait, let me finish. Here's why I don't go to Amazon, because I'm paranoid about this. The reason I didn't go is because the guy, I go down there, I pick it out, and he comes to the house the next day.
Okay.
I didn't want to wait. That's the only reason I should have done it. I should have done it because it wouldn't matter at all, because now we are dealing with the quagmire that is this. But when I'm telling a story about going to a dealer and then you tell it, it really does. It's just like he was here. I can practically hear him saying, well, why didn't you go to Amazon? That's
well,
the point.
I started at an appliance store, but I bought my dishwasher through Amazon.
Oh, you bastard. You got me. You got me.
I
you
started.
Dear
I
heart.
Wanted. I wanted to see. I wanted to touch. I wanted to feel, because that's the one thing that I wanted. I wanted to see the item before.
How
I
did you get it.
It
installed?
I did that through a third party. I called a party and I had them come in and do it. It was easy.
Do you happen to remember how much they charged you with the third party?
I think it was $125.
All right. So right up, it's that to me. Is
I mean,
a push,
it's,
so.
It's been a while, but yeah, but I think right. That's about right.
So here's the way this thing. Because they install the dishwasher, and the only issue I have with the dishwasher is that the door does not go down flat. Now, with the dishwasher, because you roll out that little drawer, you want your dishwasher door to lie somewhat flat. This one was up at about an angle like this.
Like a 45-degree angle?
Not a 45-degree angle, but let's say a 15-degree angle.
Is it
okay?
Enough that the dishwasher door will not look like it's flat because it's sort of tilted
no,
backwards?
No, this was a question of the first time we dealt with this.
Okay.
First time. Today will be the third call
Ooh.
From the service people. And so when it came the first time, it would cause the drawer to slide back into the refrigerator. I mean, the dishwasher.
If it was into the refrigerator, yeah. It is no. Really messed
Thank
up.
Thank you. So it's that's what causes it to slide back.
Bad.
And it was undoable. He comes out with me. You know what? This is going to be the fourth time. If you count initial installation,
right.
Two service calls, and now a third service call, that's going to be four total times they've been out here. So he looks at it. Carla's not here. I deal with it.
Okay.
And I deal with it like I deal with all that crap. I'm like, yeah, all right. Okay, great. Thanks. All right, thanks.
Is Carla not there by design?
No, not necessarily. It's just a question of scheduling and when he comes out. So he fixes it, and then he says, I forgot what he said. I'm half listening to the guy. Then it turns out it's not right. He comes out again.
How is it not right? Did you not check
it? It's still lifting up a little bit. Even with the last fix, he doesn't fix it. So that's – but you know what? We're living with it. And then today – by the way, you know, I'm done. I'm not buying any more high ticket. I'm going to let her do it. I'm going to let her do it because you know what? Because this is what I get. It's like, well, now it quit altogether. I said, what do you mean? He said, it won't even start. It's not even on.
This is from
and
Carla?
I go out.
She comes in and announces
today.
That?
This is today. This is 45 minutes ago. It's 20 minutes before I'm going to come in to do the show. I'm dealing with this.
So,
what
I'm imagining is you are in your studio trying to center yourself, prepare to entertain the millions, and she just comes in and announces, well, now it won't even start.
Right.
And
right.
That's horrible.
She has been, I guess, the last two times dealing with a guy at this store. I'll give a fictitious name. Let's call him, Dickie McDick. Okay?
That's a bad
and
name.
And Dickie, so today she finally says, I need you to call them because I'm not getting any headway. And by the way, I'm calling them now because the door never was completely fixed to our satisfaction. And she didn't like that. And then the thing quits altogether. So she says, by the way, when you get him on the phone, ask for Dickie McDick.
Okay.
And so I call and I get another guy. Let's call him Minion. And Minion says, and I said, I need to speak to Dickie McDick, please. And I said, oh, okay, hold on. Dickie McDick, they need to. So. Dickie McDick, I said, yeah, hi, this is Mike O'Mara. I'm over here at such and such address, and I want you to, we've had a problem. Oh, yeah. Listen, and he starts. He starts, I haven't said one word to Dickie McDick, and he launches out on this whole thing about the door. And within Dickie McDick's monologue about the door
his prepared
is included
monologue.
Something that if you deal with Mr. Mike O'Mara and you want to send him off the aircraft carrier of rage,
oh dear,
say during the discussion that the problem would not have occurred if I purchased something more expensive.
Oh, no.
And I am sitting there. I'm like, you Dickie McDick. I bought a brand new. You know what? For me, it was expensive.
Sure.
All right. And if you tell me, Dickie McDick, that I'm not getting a on the higher end models, the door comes all the way down. And by the way, this is before I have even gotten the opportunity to share with him that the thing is dead in its crib. So Dickie McDick,
that's so sad. That
Dickie McDick is just going. He's babbling. I said, I said, but I said, well, it's a, you know, I understand. He said, yeah, with the, you know, with the, it's the, they've got the cheaper ones with the PVC on the front. The cheaper ones, the one you sold me, the one you sold me, Dickie McDick.
How old is
so
this
he's
fellow?
Like,
how old?
I don't know. I don't know what he looks like. I got no idea.
Oh,
we don't know if he's the owner or he's not. I have no idea.
I thought you were talking to the repair man. I see. So you're dealing with a guy.
You've had these. Well, he might be the guy that's the repair end of things. He might be the same. I don't think a salesman would say that.
No.
Or an owner would say that. But no. I don't know. And by the way, the prime directive when the repair people come out today for Mrs. O'Mara is to find out more about Dickie McDick.
Sure.
Because I want to know exactly what the deal is. Because so he's in the middle of it. He launches into this thing. And a stainless steel, heavy duty with the high-end ones. They go all the way down because of the heavy stainless steel. These, they're PVC, and they don't go. And it's just, so you're telling me that this product is not performing optimally because you sold me a piece of crap. Is that what you're saying, Dickie? And I didn't say that, and I should have, but I have to come in here and entertain people. So
really the thing that he was intimating is that that a properly working appliance, that's an option. Yeah. It's not included
in
the
purchase.
He's
saying the weight of the door does not lend itself to opening flush.
So you
where it comes full down.
You push
so it's a slight
down?
Angle. The door was not the issue.
That's not what we're talking about. Right.
The issue was you press little buttony on doorway of little dishwashery and there's nothing.
No,
a week after the thing has been installed. A week after the thing has been installed. So he's babbling and he's one of these guys where he is so ready with his BS before you can even, you're not even allowed to get it out. So he finishes with the whole thing about buy the high end one. You know, high end one. I swear to God, I want to reach through the phone and grab his throat.
Of course.
And then he said, I use the standard. I said, are you done? And he says, yeah. And it's completely adversarial at this point. I said,
yeah.
Well, the whole thing quit now. I'm not a mechanic, but I checked the breaker, and there seems to be electricity going to that part of the house, and it doesn't work. There are no lights. It's not working at all.
It's shut down.
And then I probably used a choice expletive. And when I said that, he said, Let me check. What I'll do is I'll call and I will check with in the repair and see if we can get somebody out there to fix it. And I said, okay. And I hung up. And Carla looked at me and said, did you hang up? I said, yeah. So when's he coming out? And I realized maybe I shouldn't have hung up.
Well,
maybe I actually should have waited. But then Carla got a call, and so they're coming out. So that's resolved.
Satisfying thing to hang up. But you know what? The thing that is so horrifying about that is that he had the speech prepared. Mm-hmm. He knew exactly that there was going to be a problem. He thought he knew what the problem was. He had a prepared speech, and he thought that would be done. You'd be done. He said,
but I got happy. Rob, I swear to God, it was 2 days after this that I said, I love this company. You go down there, and like within hours, you got the thing put in your house, and that's the part that I really liked about it. And then, you know, all hell broke loose with this thing, and it's just like, you have to be vigilant. You have to continuously. There just is no way that you can assume that a problem is not going to occur, and you prepare for it. And you know what? I, as somebody who says don't get happy, I probably, when it comes to making purchases, you know, from my old days where I didn't really think it through all the time,
right.
You know, the fact is you buy it, you assume. I would make the fallacious assumption that a product is going to work perfectly well
and there's not going to
be a problem. And, you know, when you get something like an appliance in a house, like a television, like a refrigerator, like a microwave, it's just such a cluster F when it doesn't go as it should. And you know,
you shouldn't
we have
to grit
by the
your teeth or cross your fingers. You should you should be able to feel that it's going to work. And they've done, you know what, make no mistake, this company this company that you dealt with, they've done this dance a million times. They've seen it happen a million times. And you know what, I would bet 80% of the time,
my expensive one.
Yeah, 80% of the time they upsell, because you've got down there, you've got people who are at the mercy of people who claim to be experts.
Here's the thing: I did not buy low end. No. I bought midline. I didn't buy the most expensive. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to spend put that many zeros next to it, because I think if you're selling a product for a certain price, it ought to work properly. I sound like I'm doing a commercial too.
If you're selling a product for the right price,
ladies
it
and gentlemen,
work perfectly.
Here
it
is Chris Core.
So they're coming back out now. Time
today?
Number four. And by the way, today. Yeah. Okay. And here's the thing: when they come out, now it's even an esoteric, because it's the same dude. It's the same. I call him Mr. 5 Minutes.
Yep.
Mr. 5 Minutes with one screwdriver. That's what he does. He rolls in. Their whole deal is speed. Okay, speed.
Efficiency.
And,
well, their speed. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Hey, play a game with him today.
The prime directive, though, is going to be I'm finding out who Dickie McDick is. Because when the response to my dilemma about a product that's not performing optimally, by the way, the one they removed was cheaper than this one.
Of course.
And also 150 years old. And that door went all the way down, no problem.
Sure,
no
and
problem.
It worked.
Well,
until
the modern ones, modern ones, if you buy the high-end ones, and I'm just sitting there, I'm just seething at this guy,
Play a game with him today for my benefit, and then send me a text tonight. When he's doing the repair.
I won't be here.
Oh, but wouldn't it be fun? Think how great this would be while he's doing it.
I'm going to be out sitting at the table drinking whiskey.
Go, whiskey, all you want.
All you want.
But
that's
can
right.
You
toasting
imagine,
Dickie McDick.
Can you imagine lurking over him as he's repairing it and just saying offhandedly, say, you know, I spoke to Dickie McDick and he said this isn't a problem with the high-end ones. You don't happen to have a high-end one on the truck, do you?
I'd love to do that.
Wouldn't
that's
that
almost
be great?
That's almost worth staying in the house, Rob. But it ain't going to happen.
Because
anyway,
I might think about it, you know, upgrading.
You got one in your back pocket you put in there. Dickie McDick said the door will open all the way, you hump. But anyway, we'll see what happens. When we come back, I will be sharing with you a story I have been delaying for a while, but it's the story of the reverse sneeze. And just a little warning for our listeners. Diego, come on. Get with it. Come on. That demeanor, okay? What is it?
Is it
a Hispanic thing?
It might be
going on with that?
Might be that chair.
It's the chair. I've been trying to figure out.
I mean,
million knobs and levers on this chair.
No, I'm not talking about the chair. I'm talking about where you're sitting. You're taking an
and
Oscar
I'm talking about
stance.
The facial expression that he's looking like. Seriously, he's not paying attention. Pay attention to the show. All right, thank you.
Exactly
we'll take a break and come back.
He hasn't been the same since you took a shit on his logo.
Mike O'Mara with the racist comment of the day. Is it a Hispanic thing? Anyway, we'll come back and have more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I'm Maddie, and this is my internship. I experience it 1 week at a time with the Mike O'Mara Show. For 8 hours a week, I sit in the corner of a 2x4 shoebox, playing with the Ustream video and listening to fart jokes. It becomes routine. But even though I thought I had it all figured out, I still find myself questioning multiple dynamics of the show. Why do they do the mailbag on Thursdays? Where does Rofo get his confidence from? Does Mac have any other clothes besides his orange sweatshirt? And why do they call him Pony? And finally, will we ever make it through a show without technical problems again? My investigation is only beginning. I come in every Monday and Thursday to try to find some insight. But, and this is key, I know I'm not the only one with questions. Hit up MikeOMaraShow.com so you can put together the puzzle with me.
Hi, everybody.
Hi,
that's
Mike.
Pretty cool. I like that.
That
that's
was,
neat.
You know, Maddie well wrote done. That. Maddie
Very
wrote that
neat.
Promo.
Thank you, Maddie.
Love
I appreciate
voice.
That. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Thanks to pizza delivery, we can binge eat. Thanks to Netflix, we can binge watch. But now, with Texture, we can binge read. I love Texture. I truly do. Got all the great magazines that I enjoy so bad. Vanity Fair, People, Us Weekly, Rolling Stone. It goes on and on. Yep. Trust me about, it's about to be a thing, binge reading. When it comes to magazines, you know what you like, so Texture will let you get all the magazines you want in one super convenient place, right on your tablet or smartphone. Binge away. Breeze through hundreds of the world's most popular magazines, including back issues for all the articles that interest you. It's super easy to use. You do it on your phone. You do it on your tablet. Sign up for Texture today for instant insider access to the best reads and premium contact. Content, rather. Stop wasting your time. Stop wasting paper. Stop wasting money. Get Texture today. We love Texture, and you can share it with the whole family. I love my golf. I really do. I love my golf magazine.
You know, every day when I power up my tablet where we run the sound effects from, there's recommended articles for me from Texture. It's great. They know me. They tell me
what
I can
read. The best part? Right now, Texture is offering a free trial right now. When you go to texture.com/TMOS, you'll get immediate access to all of the top magazines, including back issues and bonus video content. Try Texture for free right now at texture.com/TMOS. That's texture.com/TMOS. Okay.
What was going on there? I heard you took a meeting during that promo.
Yes, Mrs. O'Mara ducked in to inform me that Dickie McDick is not the owner.
Oh, he's not.
So that's it, yeah. And then she asked about the return policy, and apparently you have 2 days to return. Now, that's not going to apply to us because we have been dealing with this problem from the beginning.
Right.
The fact is, though, that and by the way, I think that's just returning willy-nilly, not if something is defective.
Okay.
But I think they make the effort to fix it. You have to accept that and deal with that. I will say this, though, that that's just, we've got that in the quiver. We've got that in the quiver that that's not the owner, and that, that's interesting that he happened to say, on the high-end models. You know, basically telling you you're cheap. That's what that is saying.
Make no mistake, this is something that they have done a million times. What they're doing is they're backdooring. They're using a crowbar to get you to upsell, and they want.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised if your dishwasher has been in 100 homes before.
Yes.
They sell it. It breaks. They return it, and they put in something expensive.
We'll see what happens.
Okay.
But anyway, I've been holding off on this story.
Yeah.
This is because it's delicate, and so you might want to have the kiddies leave the room right now because
Adrian,
I call this
you can stay.
I call this elderly love. And here's the thing: when you get older, I still have a healthy interest in my lovely bride, my beautiful bride. Anybody's seen Carly, I'm a very lucky man. I'm very, very fortunate. And I would say that the days of Carla and I, fulfilling our marital obligations on a an hourly basis or a daily basis, not what they used to be. Like any marriage, the more you're together, probably, those fun times are fewer and farther.
And you're busy. You're busy.
Busy. Life gets in the way.
Kids.
And you do that. And I'm trying to be as non-gross as I can about this because I know that, people will think of this story I'm telling and picture Carla and kind of maybe even get a twinkle in their eye. And then they'll picture me and, it'll be kind of, that'll be the picture. But so I want you to remove that. And simply, this is a kind of an academic exercise that I'm explaining this to you.
This is one hell of a setup, boss. Where are you going?
All right, what I'm trying to do is in a really roundabout way, be very nice and gentle and tell a story about the fact that Carla and I were having a romantic moment together. And it was and because those romantic moments don't come as regularly as I would like occasionally, I prize them. I cherish them. I am in love with my wife, and I have a beautiful wife.
Gorgeous.
And so it is very special for me. Special, and that specialness normally can take care of anything. That I am focused now. Yes,
I don't like to read ahead, but
yeah, read ahead. You love to read ahead. You're a story finisher and a thought finisher. Yes,
is this story the way the dishwasher got broken?
No, it is not.
Okay,
thank you very much.
I just wanted to make sure because you're painting a heck of a picture here.
I am trying to think without giving you any real detail that would make you. I'm trying to think how it. Yes, it came up this way. We turned in for the night. I think many men have gone through this. So tell me if you.
We turned in early,
and I fell asleep early, but only for like 45 minutes, and then I stirred, and I woke up, and I looked over to my left, and I gave Carla kind of the look. You know that you know the
you
the,
know there are
the
times,
leer though, the Letcher leer.
There
you know,
are
that
times I know that you are going to say something that I'm going to regret, and now mm-hmm. I'm going to say something that I'm going to regret.
Yes,
for the youth streamers, mm-hmm. can yeah. you give us the leer?
No, I cannot.
Oh, you're a hell.
That's,
you're
that's
an actor.
Just for her.
Oh,
that's just for her.
Oh, okay.
All right, here it is.
You have to be
okay,
part
I'll
of the exclusive.
I have to take the microphone away. Here
okay.
it is.
All right.
that's what it is. Please,
Mike. Even I'm turned on now.
I don't have to beg, but I have to beg.
Yeah.
So I make the request, and I make it's a nonverbal thing. You make the you know it's I'm not gonna go.
No,
you know how that works, right? It was, so the thing is, finally, yeah. after a little bit of cajoling, she acquiesces, which is wonderful. I'm
did
very
the,
very happy.
Did the
about
cajoling
this.
Say, hey? Bought your shoes, bought your dishwasher.
No,
how about
no,
a
we didn't
something?
Go down that. No, it's got to be a little better than that.
Okay.
It's just kind of that moment. And so it begins, and I will tell you that there are many, many reasons
yes.
that I have to not have a close interpersonal relationship. I guess interpersonal you wouldn't have with an animal. To have a close relationship with my dogs. Add this to the wonderful, wonderful world of Beluga.
Oh,
of Beluga,
no.
the
oh,
blind no. and deaf pug.
Yes.
Beluga, the aging pug, who it's been established on the show, is obsessed with Mrs. O'Mara.
Yes.
He is a one-person dog, and he's obsessed. And much to my chagrin, you know, both the dogs are welcomed in the bedroom and have a little doggy bed in the bedroom. And, you know, it's all I can do to keep them there. They used to be on the bed with Beluga's shedding horrible, disgusting hair all over the
this
bed.
This is another
no
thing that
there.
That will work against marital intimacy
mm-hmm.
because, you know, Linus, it's the same thing. It's,
right.
you know, three in a bed. That's no good most times.
It doesn't work. But they're on the floor now. And I've talked about Beluga. Disrupts my sleep. He offers me no love whatsoever. He inconveniences me by defecating not once but twice when normal dogs will go out and do it once. Beluga will wait till the end of the walk and go, I've got an average homeless person's poop that I'm going to let go now,
oh, no.
and he will do that. I look, those are the little things, okay? Then, as far as love is concerned, there is none. Zed Bagel. Carla would argue that I give him none, so I get none. But even if I were to give him some, I would not get
do
any
you
response.
Do you still give him your breakfast plate? Do you still give him your
no,
breakfast plate?
Do not do
so
that.
So you don't
anymore.
Even share
no.
that anymore? Because you
no,
used to let
don't
him,
share that.
You used to let him eat your
no.
egg residue.
No, we don't do it. We've moved away from it. It just happened. It just happened. We
yeah.
don't do that. You know, and so we've moved away from that.
You
so
don't
I get nothing
send
out of
me
it.
Flowers.
So how do I say this delicately? We are engaging in gymnastic activity.
Right.
And in that gymnastic activity, I am requiring somewhat more self-control so as to make sure that my beloved has a wonderful experience. I'm trying to say this as delicately
How
as I
can. How about this?
Okay?
You and Carla are driving to the beach.
Yes.
And you've backed off on the gas pedal because you want to
right.
get to the beach at the same time, or maybe let her get to the beach first.
All right. Now you're grossing me out. This is not working when both of us do this. I know you're trying to help. You're a dear heart for trying to. It's the second time I've called you a dear heart during the show. No, just let me do this, please.
Okay. Well,
because it'll make people really. The throw up factor with you and I going down this road is so significant.
It could
and
be worse.
The only
it
reason
could be
I'm telling this story.
About us.
The only reason I'm telling this story between Oscar not here is because Oscar would go gross if I was telling this story. The
You're
fact
right.
is that so that's what I'm doing, and I'm happy to report that. And by the way, when I say I was successful, I say that with the caveat that I believe I was successful because we've had experts on the show that say none of us are ever successful. Okay, that's so. But
so
if she's lying,
you're going
she
on limited data.
I'm going on limited. But the fact is, I'm buying it.
Sure.
And she's indicating it. And yeah. so
she's
success.
Indicating, and you're buying.
She's indicating that I'm A-okay. So whether that's BS or not, I'm pretty happy that I have done my job. And the fact is, we're talking about a total time commitment of 5 to 7 minutes, something like that. Nothing out of the ordinary. So when I believe, either falsely or not,
right.
that I have done my job, then it's me time.
Right.
At that very moment,
Mike's going to
when
the
me time when me time begins, I have exercised self-control. It's not going to be any problem at all until, like clockwork.
Yes.
Like he's in my mind. Beluga has what I refer to as the reverse sneeze. Has anybody ever experienced that with a dog? The reverse sneeze. Does anyone have a pooch that does this?
Can you imitate it? Because maybe
it is. It is. They get their tongue caught in their throat and they start going. And it's like.
That might be something that, you know, we've talked about the traits of the flat-nosed dog.
I have two dachshunds, and one of them does the same thing.
Okay, so you know what I'm talking about when they go, that's really, it's painful for me to do this, but it's more like.
Yeah. Mac has something for you.
Yeah, I looked up Wikipedia for reverse sneezing, and the very first picture it shows is a pug.
Okay, look up Wikipedia for speech impediment.
It's a bug. It's a bug. It is. It is a not only a disturbing sound, but it's a sound where the dog is panicking because the dog is. I don't know how the head, the beluga pug head, deformed smash face head is constructed, but he's breathing in. And it's just
and it's
he's
prolonged.
Not,
it's not like one sneeze.
And it's a panicky sound from a dog that goes.
No.
And this comes at the moment. Pardon the word.
I understand.
You know, it was and Carla begins to laugh hysterically. In the middle of passion, she begins to laugh hysterically, and I am sitting there, and I am at this point. My mojo is being adversely affected to the point where, thank God, I was able to do my job.
Yeah.
For me,
all signs
me
point
time
to
for Daddy.
You succeeded as well.
So my feeling is that I don't think this was an accident. I don't think this was an accident at all. I think he doesn't like the fact that he's in there, and really, I should have banished them out to the outer, you know, the outer sanctuary.
I hate to ask this
of
question.
Our North 40 over
I
here.
I hate to
know?
Ask this question. But do you feel that you were, demonstrative enough?
Don't, no, stop. You're going to gross. If you say yuck, I edit your thought. What?
That Beluga knew that you were having a great time at that moment.
Beluga, no. I think Beluga, it may have been a response to the fact that we were doing that, you know, 2 feet above his head where his little doggy bed is, you know.
Bed.
Everybody does, you know, you don't like the dog staring at you when you're getting undressed.
No,
you probably don't like
no.
a dog in there when it's happening. But, you know, Beluga is, I've said this before, he's a piece of furniture. 18 hours out of the day.
Exactly.
He's motionless. He's sedentary. He sits there in the corner and you don't even know he's there. He will make sounds in the middle of the night that wake me up. I tolerate that. But this is the first, and I've had the reverse sneeze. Carla always like walks over and like rubs his throat and kind of like pets him and say it's going to be okay. I sit there and kind of think to myself, could this be it?
Yeah. You start filling out the paperwork.
Fingers crossed.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, Diego, go ahead. Yes.
I did some research.
Don't touch your microphone. Just talk.
I'm sorry. Okay. All right. It's not a sneezing thing. It's a nose thing.
Okay.
And I hate to tell you this, Mike. It might have to do with the humid weather in Florida.
Really? Well, they do it more down here. They do it more.
Really?
And they do it more in the summer, so you have a point there. They may have a point there. I think it was psychological, and he made the sound on purpose, just to screw me up.
Yeah.
That's what I think he did. I swear
well,
to
really screw you up, he would have had to do it a little sooner, wouldn't he?
Yeah, perhaps. No, well, you know, he did it. He did it, and I soldiered through it. And there's nothing that makes
Attaboy.
You feel. Let me just say, there's nothing that makes you feel sexier when that moment comes and your wife has tears in her eyes because she's laughing at you and laughing at your reaction. So, thanks, Beluga. Wonderful dog.
Meanwhile, he's rubbing his paws together, going, excellent.
Yes, I've done it. I've done it again. I've done it again. Yes, I've ruined a part of his life. Ha 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 ha. Pug life. But for the dog lovers out there, I've also said to Carla, he is getting older. I'm going to try to be nicer to him. I'm going to actually try to be friendlier
That's
and
a
nicer
lie.
To him.
You won't do that.
Do?
Yeah.
Thank you, Rob. All right, we'll take a break and come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Are you gonna do it? I know you qualify. Are you gonna do it?
I want to welcome back a good friend of ours, Omaha Steaks. Mm. We love the high-quality, one-of-a-kind flavor. Omaha Steaks has beef and bison from the Golden Plains. And they've got seafood. They've got poultry, pork, veal, and lamb. Plus, veggies, desserts, appetizers, pasta, soups, seasoning, sauces, more. They've got lots of stuff. And you know you'll love it because everything is backed by Omaha Steaks 100% unconditional guarantee. Right now, Omaha Steaks has the perfect package for our listeners. Huge saving and amazing variety. And when you use the code TMOS, this is a great deal. I'm so glad they're continuing it. You're going to get 76% off this exclusive package. It's the Omera Assortment. Two tender, mild filet mignons, two bold, beefy top sirloins, two moist, savory, boneless pork chops, four home-style chicken fried steaks. That's right. I'm continuing.
Wow.
15 giant Italian spice all-beef meatballs, four award-winning gourmet jumbo franks, four crispy, creamy potatoes au gratin, four made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets, and an Omaha Steak seasoning packet, along with four juicy premium Omaha Steaks burgers. Mm. All of that free. Now listen, just for our listeners, this exclusive package is $49.99. Great for you and great for us. We really appreciate everybody supporting Omaha Steaks because they're a new advertiser on the Mike O'Mara Show. Get on your computer, go to omahasteaks.com, type in TMOS in the search bar, and it pops right up. Just add the O'Mara assortment to your cart. Again, that's omahasteaks.com, and enter TMOS in the search bar to get this great package for only $49.99. Great deal. Omaha Steaks and the O'Mara package, guaranteed to thrill everybody. A television show that I tuned into called The Outsiders. Has anybody looked in on it?
What channel is that on? I've not even heard of it.
Might be FX. It's where it's from the creators of Sons of Anarchy, and I have to tell you, I don't get it. I looked at.
Can you
I might have come
it?
In. No, because I don't understand what it's about. Apparently, there are these people that live in the woods. There's a company that wants to take over the land for their coal business, and they're heading towards a showdown.
So it's not based on the classic book, The Outsiders,
no.
by S.E. Hinton.
What's the
that's
what's
the book
that
about
book?
The greasers and
read,
the socialites,
so yeah.
and or the Socs, as they were called,
mm-hmm.
and that's where we got the name Pony Boy, because Pony Boy
right.
was
exactly.
a character in that because he was a greaser. But so this is like something that they live in the woods and they mine coal.
They're a family that lives out there, and they have like their own rules. And here's where I'm confused. I think I came in on maybe the second or third episode.
Okay,
so I didn't get the setup, but the way it happens now is there are two guys that are heading for a fight where they're going to be on ATVs with baseball bats. They're going to be fighting each other.
It's like
and
jousting.
Then there's it's jousting, but. Yeah, but I mean, it's the thanks, Pony. I appreciate that, but the fact is, it's in the middle of the woods, and I'm not quite sure what it means. You know, and I mean, I'm in a glut of TV. The Housewives, my dear hearts from Beverly Hills,
yes, dear
are
heart.
Doing well for me, but. You know, I really don't have anything else to watch.
I jumped in on a show last night that made me think of you. I hadn't had a chance to watch it yet because the kids have been everywhere, and I know it's not a show they could watch. I watched the first half of the premiere of Vinyl, and
I've watched that too.
I was delighted to see Ray Romano in it. And I had
Ray
no
Romano's
idea.
Great in it,
oh,
by
he's
the way.
So
yeah.
funny in it.
Yeah,
but
he's actually. I think Ray Romano's an amazingly talented actor. I truly do. I think I don't think that you have a smash hit unless you've got that chip. And I think he's much better than Seinfeld as an actor, a stand-up
agreed.
Comedian who was an actor. The thing about Vinyl, and I've gotten into this with our friend Patton Oswalt a little bit. It's when you watched it, Rob, I know you didn't live as close to it as I did because
I'm
10 years older than you are. But I will tell you this, that the show, didn't you find it ridiculously frantic?
Oh, my God.
With all this stuff. It was that look. Was there payola in the radio business?
Sure.
Yes, in the old days there was. Were there rampant drugs? Well, it was the 70s. Yes, there were rampant drugs. It continued on to the 80s. I saw some of that. Was it as insane as it's made out to be? No, and they don't need to make it so over
the
top.
The two
Do you
things,
think that?
As
what?
I pull away, and I only watched about, it was 2 hours. I watched most of the first half. All of the first half got into the second half.
I don't even know the name of the lead actor in Vinyl.
Bobby Carnival, is it? Is it something?
Bobby Carnival?
Something Carnival.
And he was in Boardwalk Empire as well. He's a good actor.
The
really
thing
good actor.
That I took away from it is apparently in the 1970s, there was always music playing wherever you went. There was never a time that you weren't hearing Slade or Mott the Hoople because there's music everywhere.
Did you get long enough into it to see the big dramatic moment where Dice Clay gets
No, I didn't see Dice.
Oh, so you didn't watch all of it?
No, I just watched the first half of it.
Oh, the first half. Okay.
Yeah,
but it was a two hour episode.
Exactly.
They did it one time, right?
Right.
You gotta get to the frantic part. That's the dramatic.
Well, no, but it's still very frantic. The other thing that I will give it credit for, especially for a made for television project, it not only evokes the feeling of the 70s, it looks like it was filmed in the 70s. The period
and
flavor
I will tell
is
you,
great. It looks like
grown,
Serpico.
Being older in the 70s, I will tell you, it reeked of kind of faking the decade.
Okay, what do you see that you saw that you felt
all right,
fake?
You want to know, you want a 70s movie? You want a 70s movie that was made in the 70s that'll show you what the 70s are like?
Yeah.
In my memory of the 70s,
yeah.
Especially the urban 70s,
okay.
It's gritty. The 70s, New York City in the 1970s was a gritty place. It was gritty. It was scary a little bit.
I
went into New York a lot. Okay. They make it kind of Hollywood and
I thought
it felt
gritty. I thought they did a pretty good job of making it feel gritty.
You go watch The French Connection, and that's a movie with Gene Hackman. If you want to see a movie where it's shot in the 70s in New York,
and
that's
it captures
much more.
It captures
I don't know. I think that they first of all, it was not that over the top. I get confused by some of the characters. And my point was, you know, I talk about being in radio in the 80s and going into a DJ convention where the record executives and the DJs all were in one hotel together. And that was pretty intense.
Yep.
And that partying was pretty over the top. And there was stuff I saw there, in hotel rooms that, were drug related that were pretty intense. And I remember saying to myself, I actually said this, and it concerns cocaine. I said, with all of this access, and there was tremendous access, or mid-80s, believe it or not, that long ago. I said, if I got into this drug, I'm doing a morning show. If I get into this drug, what's it supposed to do? Keep you awake and give you confidence. I said, I'll be hopelessly addicted with my personality.
Yeah.
But that was one where the DJ convention had a record company suite on the top of this hotel, and I don't remember, it might have been the Sheraton that we were at down in Atlanta, and they rented a top floor of the entire restaurant of this, and it was one of these restaurants in the round that sits at the top of the hotel.
Yeah.
And I walked in, the first thing I remember, because I was just new to the game, man. I hadn't been making any money at all. And so these things were a big deal for me. And I'm looking, I'm like, look at the shrimp.
Yeah.
And they had giant shrimp.
And if it is 85, the radio industry was at its...
Probably 86.
It was cresting. And it would be the final time that radio would really, really crest and be huge.
Right.
It was a resurgence of personality and music-driven radio. So this was a good time for you to come
it's incredible.
Into it.
And we sit there, and it's just this amazing spread of food.
Yeah.
All the booze, all the food. And I think it might have been Chrysalis, which was the record company that did this. Back in the day, that was the label.
Yeah, they handled Huey Lewis, I think, and also maybe Joan Jett or Pat Benatar.
I would not have remembered that.
Big acts then.
Suddenly, this music picks up, and on this huge bar at the top of the hub, this restaurant at the top of a hotel, come the Atlanta Falcons cheerleaders dancing on the bar. So there I am, Fatty McDJ, eating my shrimp, having my Amstel Light, and enjoying the Atlanta Falcons cheerleaders dancing over my head.
Wow.
It was fantastic. And at that particular convention, in the hallways, Eddie Money.
We had a great time at that party.
No, that was later.
Okay,
Eddie
just
Money,
checking.
Debbie Harry, David Lee Roth was there.
Wow,
there were other artists that were there as well. And I actually went into a record suite, and Debbie Harry was there, like in the mirror, primping her hair as I was walking in with all these other people in the record company suite. So was it intense? Yeah. By the time I got there, not nearly that. And I wonder if it was as intense as it's made out to be. In Vinyl, I'm not sure. The one thing I will tell you that Vinyl does capture, and I saw a lot of this, the sleaze factor of these radio executives.
Yeah.
These, the sleaze factor of these guys. When I first arrived, I remember the first thing I did was walk out by the pool.
Yeah.
And you had all these guys with their gold chains.
Of course.
And their, you know, let's just say it was a rather Italian organization. You could have seen guys, they were either record executives or they could have been in the mob. It was that's the way they looked, you know, back in the Tommy Mottola days.
Would it be almost impossible for them to go over the top making them look sleazy then? I mean, it really was like that.
That's what I'm saying. Even that with the 70s, I don't know if it was that. The Andrew Dice Clay character in the movie Vinyl, in the miniseries Vinyl, I think is a little over the top. I think it's really... The problem with movies today...
It's amazing
today,
that Dice didn't rein it in, because that's normally what he does.
They make such an effort to make them sleazier than they need to be. You don't need to do that. Make them more believably sleazy, because you don't have to do it over the top, because it's sleazy just to see... I remembered feeling sleaze just seeing these guys playing volleyball in the pool. That's all I saw. You know, I didn't need Dice going, "Come here, darling, let me grab your ass," like that. It just was a little over the top. But I'll tell you, living part of that, and as I said, when I was talking to some friends online, I said, by the time I got there as a baby DJ and program director for a little radio station down in Annapolis, Maryland, they were using promotions to influence us and get us to add records. When I say that, promotions that where our listeners would win something. That's what the A&R guys, the record guys, would come in, and that's what they would do. They would say, "Hey, we've got an opportunity for you to win a contest. We'd love you to do this. You know, we're doing it in conjunction with the release of this particular record." I remember one record was Eddie Grant's Electric Avenue, and they were offering up a motorcycle to give away to you know, if we added the record
and built and
we
the
were
promotion
doing that type
around
of thing.
It.
But primarily, and it was a wonderful time, and I was blessed to have that part of my career.
Great time
when
for
I
music.
Got to do this, even in a small market station, to have a record guy come in, and they'd have a satchel, and they'd take out 45s or albums out of their satchel, and they'd put it on the turntable, and they'd turn it on. And it's the first time I ever heard Whitney Houston, and it was a special moment. I remember hearing that. And you would be able to, if you would break a record, if you would add the record first, put it on your radio air first, you would get, in many cases, a gold or a platinum record if the record went gold and platinum. If you were one of the first ones, you got credit for that. So you could go in the smallest radio station in the world and see a PD that had that. And, you know, then everything changed.
Did they ever come in with promotions built around a record that you thought was a clinker? And they say...
You know what? I was small potatoes, and I didn't get enough offers like that.
Right.
You know, primarily, it was, you know, to be honest with you, I was always trying to get more product from the radio station,
from
the record companies.
Right, right.
That's what I was trying to do. I was trying to get records to play, especially on the country station, just to get them and to have them. You know, I would imagine in the major markets, it's a different New York City, Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was probably a different enterprise because your ads, and we called them ads. You add a record.
Add a record.
That's what
right.
it was called. And it was, you know, it was different, but it was winding down at that point. When you go back in the radio history and you talk about payola, that's when the disc jockeys did have influence.
Oh.
A major disc jockey would get a suitcase or a bag with cash in it, and suddenly, magically, that record was played all over the radio. And they did do that. But I just don't know how rampant it was back in the day.
If you want to know really when payola was really screaming out unchecked in the mid to late 50s, check and see how many top records were written by disc jockey Alan Freed. Actual answer, none. But he was credited on dozens of records because they'd give him publishing to play the record. Because it would become a hit, he'd get
now
the money from the back.
That's payola.
That is really not okay.
That is not okay. But didn't live in that era. I caught a little of the wave, though, the go-go 80s. We'll take a break. When we come back, it's news you may not need with the Woman of the Week right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
On the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show.
I'd like to try that device and see how it looks for my turkey neck that I have here, you know? And the more weight I lose, the more I get this turkey neck.
Have you ever thought of getting that worked on?
No, because you know
what?
Because
they don't put you under. It'd just be something that, you know, they suck it out.
I just, you know, to be perfectly honest, there are a million things.
Can you pull it up and let's see what you look like?
Yeah, do a tape.
Yeah, let's see what that looks like. Oh, male model. Damn. Damn.
Yeah, Zoolander, Blue Steel.
Yeah. Mm.
Either that, hi, everybody.
It looks
hi,
look
how are that. You?
Look how skinny you look.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say that your neck really gives you the most obese look to you. Like,
thank
that's
you,
what
Oscar.
It is.
Yeah. Thanks for that fucking compliment. Yeah.
He's really complimenting you.
The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Because 5 hours a week just ain't enough. Always available at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Yep, another bonus show where I felt really good about myself afterwards. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Vistaprint, the best for small business owners. They offer just about everything you need for your home and office needs, and we love Vistaprint.
Yes.
Thanks to everybody for sending us your cards. Keep them coming. I'd love to see your Vistaprint card, and who knows, we might put it on the show and show everybody. Vistaprint cards make it easy and affordable to make a great first impression, which makes your clients remember you, and that's very, very important. Cards with customized text, color, design, front and back. You can upgrade the card stock, add a fancy finish, even raise print. Use a Vista template, or you can use your own logo. Vistaprint does it all to make you look great. Every one of us has designed a card at Vistaprint, and guess what? It's easy and always looks sensational. Remember to use our code TMOS at Vistaprint.com, and you will get 500 business cards for $9.99. You heard me right. That is a 50% savings. Just visit Vistaprint.com and create your custom card and use promo code TMOS at checkout. Remember that again. It is TMOS. Go to Vistaprint.com and order yours today. You will not regret it. And please, please, please send me those cards. I'd love to get them.
News.
Someone created an online petition demanding that Ryan Reynolds host Saturday Night Live as Deadpool in character for the whole show.
The whole show.
The
so
whole
not
show.
Just Ryan Reynolds, it's Deadpool hosting Saturday Night Live.
It's Deadpool. They want Deadpool to host Saturday Night Live. It says, quote, how would this not be hilarious having Deadpool in sketches? Kind of see their point. Breaking the fourth wall and inserting some of his brand of humor, obviously toned down a bit for TV. I know nothing about Deadpool. Pony, do you know anything about Deadpool, this character at all?
Yeah, he's from the X-Men storyline. He's kind of a off-the-wall character. Very
raunchy, right? He's raunchy.
That's
a little
the
bit.
Raunchiest movie I've ever seen.
Really?
Hands down. Oh, yeah. It is just
because I know it was a
insane.
Big deal that it was an R-rated comic book movie. This had never been done.
Is it, as somebody who is not a fan of the genre, is it something that anybody could go and enjoy if you like raunchy comedy?
If you can deal with violence and raunchy comedy and cursing, then absolutely, check it out.
Doesn't sound like you, Mike.
Yeah.
Here's the rest of the quote. How awesome would it be to have some Deadpool interpretive dancing while the musical guest was playing? There's unlimited possibilities. Last we checked, 49,000 signatures for this.
Yes, everyone go and sign it so we can have Deadpool on television.
So who would win the Oscar for best or worst career after winning an Oscar? That's the question that Walt Hickey investigates over at 538.com. He considered all the best actor and best actress winners since 1970, looked at how many movies they made before and after winning through the end of 2015 or until their death or retirement, and how well those movies performed. This is really interesting stuff.
This is a
stuff.
Great tack to take. Yeah, I like
really,
this.
Really, really fascinating article. Forrest Whitaker is the most prolific of the male winners, having made a film on average every 3.4 months since his win in 2006.
Wow.
I didn't know he made that many movies.
He does work. He works a lot.
You ready for the other end of the spectrum?
Yeah.
Art Carney went an average of 61.7 months between films after his win in 1974.
Hey, Ralph, the offers aren't rolling in.
And what did he win? It was a movie
it
about
It was
a
Harry
cat.
And Tonto.
Harry and Tonto. Mm-hmm. Daniel Day-Lewis, however, is the least productive by default, having not made a film since his 2012 win for Lincoln. After his 1989 win, he went an average of 29.5 months between films, and after his 2007 win, 36 months. So he hasn't even made a movie yet.
That's surprising. I loved him in Lincoln. I thought he was great.
Oh, he's amazing.
On the female side, Cate Blanchett made a movie on average every 3.3 months after her win in 13. The least productive female, Catherine Hepburn. She went an average of 366 months between films after her win in 1981. The actors who had the highest percentage of movies scoring 50% or higher on Rotten Tomatoes after their Oscar wins, Paul Newman, Philip Seymour Hoffman, and Denzel Washington. And the actresses, Marion Cotillard, is that the way?
Cotillard, I think. Isn't it? I think it's Cotillard, and it doesn't surprise me about Denzel. He doesn't make bad movies. That's pretty strong.
Cate Blanchett and Meryl Streep are in that category, too. When combining the two factors and looking at the average number of months between films, with a 75% score higher or higher on Rotten Tomatoes after winning an Oscar, Blanchett comes out on top, 5.1, followed by Tom Hanks at 10.2. Lots of statistics, but I thought they were interesting.
I think that's great. I just can't wait for Katharine Hepburn to make another movie.
That'll be fantastic.
It really would. Yeah. On Golden Pond 2. Seems like a natural.
I think it's The Lovely Bones 2. A new study a new study at Michigan State University found one of the main reasons bosses yell at their employees.
Yes.
Is because they're so ethical and moral.
That's right, Pony. Remember that.
I'm writing this down.
This is a great story. It drains a lot of mental energy to follow the rules, be fair, be honorable, and try to keep everything above board all day. Eventually, the researchers say people's capacity to exert self-control is severely limited, thereby increasing the likelihood that they will succumb to temptations and aggressive impulses, like screaming at you, for example.
Yes.
They say the best way for bosses to avoid those bad mood swings is to take more breaks during the day.
Oh, that's good.
And embezzle golf balls.
Stop it.
Sorry. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hey, you know, we take four breaks every show, so yeah, I think it should be fun.
Appreciate it. When Kim Kardashian released her stupid mobile game, Kim Kardashian Hollywood, in June of 2014, we all laughed. Okay, I hate to share these stories, but sometimes it's just necessary.
Yeah.
Well, the joke's on us. Kim is raking it in off your gullible children. In its first five quarters alone, the game has earned $100 million.
Oh,
go to hell.
It has been downloaded 42 million times. Yes, the game is free, but there are tons of in-app purchases that people are obviously willing to pay for. Kim reportedly gets 45% of the profits, which means that with this game alone, she could easily wipe out Kanye's $53 million in debt, which I read about a little bit, and it is legit. He does have debt. One of the reasons he's carrying this debt is because of his fashion pursuits.
Oh.
That is an incredibly expensive venture to take up, and you have tremendous upfront costs and not always a lot of returns. A lot of people have failed because of that in the fashion industry.
I don't know. I buy all of his clothes, and I don't know why he's not doing better.
Jesus, Rob. The website Estately.com just released a list of the cities where men are having midlife crises. They used five criteria: searches for hair loss treatments, Craigslist ads where men are seeking a younger woman, guys between 35 and 55 who talk about their new motorcycle on Facebook, the ratio of divorce lawyers to marriage counselors, and convertibles on sale.
Wow.
That's the criteria.
That's pretty good stuff.
Based on those scientific metrics, here are the top 10 cities where men are having midlife crises: Dallas, Atlanta, Phoenix, Miami, Chicago, New York, L.A., Philadelphia, Minneapolis, and San Francisco.
So many sad people. It's amazing. They're all big cities, though. I think those might be slightly skewed.
Yeah.
The stats might be skewed.
Very scientific. And now a little something-something, and our person of the week, lady of the week.
Oh, a lady.
She's a lady.
Whoa.
41-year-old Davina Cutchall was at a buffet restaurant in Gainesville, Florida last week. When she started yelling swear words at someone across the room. Always nice when you're in a family restaurant.
Yeah.
Well, a woman asked her to stop doing it in front of her son. And in response, Davina grabbed her fork and made stabbing motions with it as she walked toward the woman.
Oh.
Then a guy tried to get in between them before Davina could actually stab the woman with the fork, and Davina threw a soda in his face. The other woman threw a bowl of ketchup at her and ran away because she was afraid of Davina.
Huh.
Davina was arrested for aggravated assault, and because she is our Lady of the Week on the Mike O'Mara Show, I thought I'd offer up one last poem.
I love a poem.
Lovely lady. Nobody's meaner than Miss Davina, the meanest girl you've ever seen. Grab your chicken, beef, and pork before she stabs you with her fork. Things get scary when you dine in old Davina's buffet line. So be afraid and tell your spouse, Davina's ass is in the house! There you go. Thank you.
Mike, I know you don't do a lot of follow-ups, and I love when you do poems. Please look into the fact that she had a bowl of ketchup.
Yeah.
That a bowl of ketchup.
Doesn't seem right, does it?
Well, I would assume probably one of them big spigots. Right?
Yeah,
that's how you get your ketchup?
Davina visited the pump.
Yeah. I'd say maybe a good chance it was House Recipe. But anyway, we'll take a break, come back with the Audio Vault and Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's Tony and Gary.
Hey there, boys and girls. I'm Tony Perkins.
Hi, I'm Cupid.
And on this week's show, Angela Striblin. Last night when you were describing what turns you on, one of the things was, you know, someone who works out and has a nice body. That's not me.
I'm sorry. It's true. I mean, when I think about typically what turns me on when I'm just hanging out with my girlfriends and we're looking at guys, yes, we do that. Mm-hmm. A good body is good, especially if somebody's got a nice, firm butt and they've got a nice, don't look so sad.
Let me just scratch that off the list.
You know, and they work out. But there are other things I found attractive.
Yeah, you did say confidence.
I've gone out with people who don't fit any of that, but they're a good person, and there's the...
And then when I walk away, you go, oh, his ass isn't firm.
The Tony Perkins Show.
Anchorman.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Are you hiring but not sure where to find the best candidates? I can tell you this for sure. Your company is only as good as the people you hire. I can also tell you that posting your job in only one place, not the way to do it. Not the way you're going to find quality candidates that you need. If you're already short-staffed, you don't have the time to deal with dozens of different job sites, but ZipRecruiter is here for the rescue.
Yay.
ZipRecruiter.com. You can post to over 100 job sites with a single click and be instantly matched to the best candidates from over 6 million resumes. Just one post, and within 24 hours, watch the candidates appear. They've got a ZipRecruiter easy-to-use interface where you can see all the people that are responding to your job ad. Real ZipRecruiter clients say it has taken this process from being painful to being easy. ZipRecruiter has been used by over 400,000 businesses, and you can try it right now absolutely free. Getting the right people for your company is so very, very important. Try ZipRecruiter right now and get your perfect candidate before they go somewhere else. You can try ZipRecruiter today, and it's absolutely free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS and get started. Try it for free right now.
Now would be good.
At ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. And now, without further ado, for Friday, Feb 19, let's get the Audio Vault and Rob Spiewak.
Most of these things are hack, but this one I found particularly entertaining. I think I saw it on Vulture.com. You remember, of course, Bob Ross, right? The afro-headed
the painter guy with the big afro, yeah.
Then he would say, make happy little trees. Mm-hmm. So this
and
is
just,
a guy...
And just go over here and so and so and so. Just like that.
And you still occasionally see his picture at Michael's Crafts, but this guy is not doing a great impression, but I like the angle he takes. This is Bob Ross painting the movie The Revenant. So let's take a listen and hear what happens.
Let's put a happy little arrow through this guy's throat and add a little bit more blood here, 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 and I guess we're murdering a horse now. So load up your brush and cover the entire canvas in black because everyone's dead.
I guess we're killing a horse now.
Thank you very much. There, a little more blood. A little more blood here and here and here.
The best awards, Mike, don't come out on a regular basis, but only when they are deserved. And this one deserves our Mike O'Mara Show 911 Call of the Week.
Oh, boy.
Because in New Jersey, the mail could not be delivered because the mailman was being attacked by turkeys. The postmaster called 911 to save his mailman.
The police, Sergeant McLaughlin.
Hey, Sarge, this is the postmaster in Hillsdale.
Hey, he's gone.
Okay. You're not going to believe this, but I got a carrier that's being attacked by wild turkeys. Won't let him deliver the mail.
Where?
On Espawn Drive, 28 Espawn Drive.
28, okay, being attacked by turkeys.
This has been going on. It's crazy. I mean, they're actually attacking, biting. They chase the trucks, everything.
Wow.
Take a look at it.
All right, no problem. We'll send them over there.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
I love the fact that they're New Jersey.
Was that not a scene from Vinyl, Rob? Was that a scene?
I think it was.
The turkeys are attacking them. They're biting. They're catching the truck. Come on.
They're New Jersey turkeys, so they're going, gobble, gobble there. Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, gobble.
He can't deliver the mail. He's terrified. Come on.
Okay, Adele was on Ellen yesterday, and a couple moments I thought you would enjoy. First of all, it was too long to post. Please watch on YouTube. They do the thing where Adele goes into a place and she has an earpiece and Ellen tells her what to
Hasn't
say.
Hasn't she done that before, though?
Yes, but this one is amazing. She goes into Jamba Juice And it's Adele and John. It's a panic. It's very, very funny.
Very good.
But
very
it's about 5.5 minutes long. Shorter is Adele talking about her Grammy performance and her reaction to the fact that everyone said, wow, she didn't really knock it out of the park this year.
And I'm always a bit pitchy anyway, so I wasn't particularly... I am. It's emotion. It's emotion. When I'm flat and I'm sharp, I'm just emotional. And I was embarrassed. I woke up the next morning to people in England being like, we still love you, don't worry. And I was like, I didn't ask you if you still love me, but thanks. I'm so embarrassed.
She, everything she does makes me like her a little more. I think she's a great entertainer.
I love it when somebody's that humble. When somebody's that big a star and they're that humble, I mean, really, I think I give her a lot of credit.
And when she comes off that, what people are calling a pitchy performance, Ellen, I'm sure this was set up naturally, but this will put them to bed. She said, would you record an outgoing message on my phone? And Adele did this just sitting in the studio. It's fantastic.
Hello, it's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd leave a message. Would there be? Hello, can you hear me? I'm in California dreaming about the message that you'll leave. Hello from there.
She's great. Wow. She's a
treasure. That's worth watching. I like that. Check that out.
Do check it out. Another one who's singing a weird choice. So many people are coming back with, they're doing an album of standards or like the Great American Songbook. Cyndi Lauper relaunching her career by doing a rockabilly album of all things, which is an odd choice. And her voice is suited to it. Mike, you hide it well. She's covering an old Wanda Jackson song.
I've been embarrassed by that woman. So,
I know.
You know.
All right. Should I move on?
Well, I mean, you know how I feel about Cyndi Lauper.
I just thought this was an interesting.
Go ahead, let's hear it.
I thought this was an interesting choice for her to sing.
Okay.
And I'm not sure how I feel about it. I'm anxious to hear the rest of the album. I think her voice kind of works in that format, don't you?
Right. I think one of the things that Cyndi Lauper has been in the game for a very, very long time, and you know, more power to her. There's just a lot of artists out there that that I like, and I like Cyndi. She's fine. I wish her the best of luck.
All right, very well handled, Mike. There was another GOP debate last night, a town hall meeting styled one. There was a Democratic one. But the most fascinating thing to me is just how thrilling Jeb Bush is. What a great, exciting guy.
I fell asleep after the John Kasich part, and I thought Kasich was really good, and then went into dreamland. That's not what the host of Political Persuasion should be doing.
Well, I tell you what, Mike, you're going to fall asleep when you hear what Jeb Bush loves.
He's so sad, really. It's time for him to go.
I really feel like he's the kid that the mom is making be in a talent show. That's the feeling I get when I see him. But anyway, they asked Jeb Bush, how does he relax? What does he like to do?
What kind of music do you listen to?
I listen to country music mostly. Uh-huh. Zach Brown, Florida Georgia Band.
By the way, that's Florida Georgia Line, not Florida Georgia Band, idiot.
Okay. How do you relax?
I like to do Sunday Funday with my two precious granddaughters that live in Miami with Jeb Jr. and Sandra. I make guacamole, and Jeb cooks on the grill. I like hanging out with my granddaughters and grandsons when I get a chance. I like playing speed golf, and I like reading. I love reading.
He likes to make guacamole.
What an a-hole.
No, stop it, Pony. Behave. He'll be gone soon enough. Come on, please.
I like to make guacamole. Would you like some guacamole?
I know you're feeling that I cut that tape off.
Is guacamole the proper pronunciation?
Adrian,
how do you say it? Mispronouncing it when we say guacamole?
Let's see. I pronounce it guacamole.
Okay, and you know what? I think that what happened there
works for me.
Jeb really should have ended that sentence with, "I like to make guacamole and I love to read. Can I go home now?"
Please let me leave.
And let's close with this. I love Jimmy Kimmel. He's so funny. And we've just dealt with horrendous blizzards. We've had cold up here. You've had torrential rains in Florida, tornado warnings. And you know what?
Right.
We're not alone. There's weather in Los Angeles as well.
Of course, whenever it rains here, our local news channels are right there on the scene to capture every drop of the liquid drama that unfolds.
Since
Since we arrived in Malibu around 6 p.m., the rain hasn't stopped falling. Drivers had to slow down along a very wet PCH. The winds haven't been strong, but the flags were moving.
Yeah, the flags are moving. Drivers had to slow down. You know, if I had I known the flags were moving, I wouldn't even have tried to go to dinner.
The flags were moving. That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great weekend, everybody. Please be careful out there.
Thank you very much. I lost your vault sound effect. There it is.
Well,
I
found mustn't it. Mustn't leave it open. There
thank
we are.
All right. Man, I love this thing. Gotta lock it up. Wow. All right. Anyway, that's it. Another Mike O'Mara show has come. Soundboard. Ask for it by name. Another Mike O'Mara show has come and gone. Be sure and join us again for more fun and more thrills at MikeO'MaraShow.com. If you want to correspond with the show with a letter or a package, send it to TMOS, Box 2796, Leesburg, Virginia, 20177. To get your message or birthday request into the Wednesday mailbag, well, it's usually on Thursday, email it to Rob with two B's at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Thank you for all your support for our advertisers,
yes.
Amazon, and everybody else we talk about. That is the engine that drives this show. And please, if you haven't gotten our bonus content, check that out as well. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Ponyboy Matt Bloom, our interns, Maddie, Diego, Lou, Rofo, and Mac.
Rachel.
And Rachel.
Yes.
Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Ciao, ciao.
Bye, bye.
One last thing. Please remember that MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So, shop Amazon and get there through our website. Always open at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. Now, go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.